Speaking of severance, 1000% ask for it. It is absolutely something you should be putting on the table. You don't only need to be an executive to have this conversation, but most certainly VP and above should always be in your package, always. And to have the conversation in a beautiful way to say, listen, we both know what's happening on the market. We both know that CEOs can come and go, and that leadership changes can also impact a lot of things, including the talent that they surround themselves with. Tell me a little bit about including severance in the package and what you guys have done in the past. And I would not accept less than 6 months at that level, VP and above. It should be a minimum of 6 months. In a standard agreement, if you're lower than a VP level, 2 weeks to a month for every year served is also very, very reasonable.
The idea of job security is outdated as a landline. If you haven't been in a search for a while, it's probable you will at some point, by choice or not. Most executives admit to staying way too long or sense what's coming and justify staying anyway. Here, there's another reason. The faulty belief that navigating to what's next will inevitably be worse and has to suck. Screw that. Lauren Greif has spent a lifetime in corporate and executive search, calling bullshit on stale career advice that most still use. This is Career Blast in a Half, the career podcast for executives ready to cut past outdated career advice to fuel your outcomes now. So let's go.
Oh yeah, we're back. We're back big time for part two of top negotiating mistakes we all make and how to fix them. So we're going a little bit deeper today, and I am so excited to have Carolyn back, because what we're talking about really is all the strategies and tactics, what to say when you're asked about salary expectations, what other goodies you want to ask for in your package, and what most forget to ask about that you don't want to. All right, stay tuned, and here's part two with Carolyn Shaw, founder of The Salary Bump, as our guest. I want to jump to the next area. So, you know, we've gone through a number of mistakes and things, but there's also a burning desire and an increase, especially amongst a lot of the executives that I work with as well, is all about negotiating severance packages. So we are literally in a time where people are... It never used to be such a big thing, because the turnover in the C-suite was never at the rapid pace that it is now. And many, many of the folks that I work with, I'm sure it's the same for you, you know, never had to think about that. It's not that they did anything wrong. It just wasn't necessarily a consideration. And things have changed, right? Things have changed, and people are going into new opportunities, not with ill intent, but the level of protection that they need. And it's important. And I think that this goes back to your earlier point in investing in your career and your personal development is really an insurance policy, right? You said you will be left behind. And if you are in a situation where, I mean, it doesn't even matter. I couldn't say, oh, it's going to happen with a startup or it's going to happen with an enterprise. Everyone is susceptible to this. Yeah. Everyone's going to be vulnerable. And that's not like here to like, put the gauntlet down, like it's going to happen to you. But how, Carolyn, do we start the conversation, encroach on that conversation so that we are doing it in the spirit of goodwill, the spirit of I want to stay here for as long as I possibly can, and I don't plan on leaving, but I also need to understand this upfront.
Yeah. Well, you just said it perfectly. So it doesn't need to be any deeper than that. But many people are not putting it on the table. Many companies don't have that proactively in their agreement. So you have to own that conversation. It is certainly not one of the first conversations I would be having. I would want to negotiate the entire package. Everybody's happy. That should be one of the last things that you put on the table. And also to just remember, once they've made you an offer, they want you. They really want you. You want them. And that's what makes this a win-win. So speaking of severance, I would say in years past, it may have come across a little bit awkward for
like a prenup,
HR,
right?
For somebody to bring that forward. It's like, why are they asking for a severance? Like, do they think, you know, have they been fired a lot in their past? That conversation is changing with the absolute gross negligence that's happening in the market right now and companies' knee-jerk reactions. Their first go-to is to look at the largest item on the P&L, and unfortunately, that is the talent bucket, instead of looking at their operations and their processes and the waste that's happening everywhere else in the company. It's one of the reasons why I would struggle to go back into a chief people officer role. I do fractional work and really advise CEOs on all the other opportunities that they have. It's just highly unfortunate because you see these companies doing it and then 6 months later, they're rehiring people. So it's gross negligence, in my opinion. That said, we could go off on a tangent. For you, you don't only need to be an executive to have this conversation, but most certainly VP and above should always be in your package, always. And to have the conversation in a beautiful way, to say, listen, we both know what's happening on the market. We both know that CEOs can come and go, and that leadership changes can also impact a lot of things, including the talent that they surround themselves with. Tell me a little bit about your severance, including severance in the package, and what you guys have done in the past. And I would not accept less than 6 months. At that level, VP and above, it should be a minimum of 6 months. In a standard agreement, if you're lower than a VP level, 2 weeks to a month for every year served is also very, very reasonable. Now, I don't know. It's difficult to say with all these companies and the mass layoffs that are happening, how many of them are doing right by their people and actually giving them a softer landing. That was something I always made sure, if in fact we had to go down that road, that we did give people a soft landing. So I'm not sure how many of them are doing that or have policies in place for 2 weeks or 3 weeks for every year served, and depending on your level. But ask for it. 1,000% ask for it. And if they say no, they say no. But it is absolutely something you should be putting on the table.
All right. So ask, especially if you're VP and above, make sure that you are having that conversation early and not necessarily first. So early, but not necessarily first. Oops.
100%.
I want to address this last kind of really challenging area that sadly is just keeping me up at night, which is the gender gap, right? And understanding also in concert with, there was an article on HBR this earlier this week that talked about the slow drag of women in the C-suite, right? And so slow drag meaning we are not necessarily in those positions at the same rate as men. I'm just going to say it. I mean, this is research. And the expectation is it's not happening anytime soon either. And despite all of the information that talks about the benefits of having women in this area, it's just that same disparity. And so how does this manifest itself with that gender gap? And also, what, dear goodness, Carrie Lynn Shaw, what can we freaking do about it?
It's a slog. There is no doubt about it. And I don't know if in our lifetime, Lauren, we're going to see a equalization in this space. I can talk to you a little bit about some of the ways that I'm tackling it, people in my network are tackling it, but it really also comes down to leadership, and it comes down to leaders doing better and leaders understanding the importance of having diversity at the table. And also beyond the D, what they forget about, or obviously I love to talk about the E, the equity. It's the I, it's the inclusion part. So I don't care. I mean, I care about the D, but if you don't have everything around the I and the B and the inclusion and belonging, they won't last in that role. So leaders need to do better. The men at the table need to do better. They need to educate themselves. They need to get coaches themselves. They need to understand how do they create these environments. And they need to understand that having diversity at the table is the game changer for business results. Caring about people inside the organization and unlocking the potential of the talent and having a trust and inspire-based model inside your organization, that is the game changer to not having to do layoffs because your business is running successfully. So that's another topic for another podcast. But what when I think about the part that I'm doing, the part that you're doing, the part that other incredible people, coaches, speakers, Shelley Zales, female quotient, like there is a lot of people out there doing really great work in this space. My goal is to give people the confidence to be able to walk in to a conversation to A, apply for the bigger role. You do not have to be hit 100% of those qualifications. Men don't look at it from that perspective. You apply, number one, first and foremost, get out of your own way and start applying. Number two, go in with confidence because you've done your homework. You know what the market is paying and you know your value, right? That is super, super important. That is going to start to change the game. A statistic that you may not know, Lauren, is that by not negotiating, you're leaving between $1 million and $1.5 million on the table over your career. This is real. That said, I'm partnering with an organization called Nerdy Girls Success. And this beautiful, beautiful woman has created this nonprofit to help young women, high school age, college age, to help them change the game and know what you and I didn't know at that stage in our life and in our career, to start thinking about this differently and start having these conversations at a much earlier stage. That's where the game is going to get changed because we're going to do it from both ends. We're going to do it from the early career stage women, and we're going to start giving the confidence to mid to later stage women who just haven't asked in the past. And whether it's a tool that I have, whether it's one-on-one coaching that I have, whether it's coaching that you have, or the million of other people who are out there who are helping people find their way, that's what's going to change the game. And we're just going to keep chipping away at it and do the best that we can and hope that more women walk through that door and men hold the door open because it comes, you know, it comes from both sides. It's not only our responsibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As part of the negotiation piece with gender gap, taking it off the leader for a minute, both are true, right? Like, so this is the leader's role, but back onto our role, I'm playing the role, of course, of the candidate, of the executive, right? What can we do to either address it, discuss it? How do we dance in the gender gap area when those conversations are coming up? Because yeah, we're going to do our research, but it's not going to say in the pay transparency, oh, by the way, this range is this and men get this and women get this.
So again, if less than 50% of people are negotiating and less than 34% of women are negotiating, it starts with just asking. So we will close that gap by just asking, right? So if, you know, at least if we can match where men are in that, we would have made some strides. The idea of having the conversation within your organization, it's actually an interesting one. So less about the negotiation to you walking into a new company. You do that, market research, ask for the sale, all the good stuff that we talked about. But as an employee, a responsible employee inside your organization, I can bet that most companies do not have pay transparency inside their organization, that they don't talk about the gender pay gaps. They don't talk about pay transparency. They don't talk about the ranges. They don't talk about it by level. They don't talk about what your career growth trajectory could look like financially. I can almost bet of all the companies I've worked for, only one had that. So it's very, very unusual to see that. But as a responsible employee, whether you're part of a women's group or an ERG, a diversity ERG, anything at all, start posing the question to HR and to leadership to say, listen, you know, there's just so many exciting things happening inside this company around diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging, and so many great things that you guys are working on. Would be super interesting to know what the pay gaps look like here, and what are the statistics for women in leadership roles, people of color in leadership roles. Would love to see that and share that. And you know, that could be very inspiring for all of us inside the company. You can have that conversation in a beautiful way and not come across saying, I want to hear, you know, what you're doing about it, right? Have it in a beautiful way. Recognize the steps the company has taken and help them to take further steps. Or I just read this incredible article about XYZ company who opened the doors to pay transparency. And here's what it did for their business results. Here's what it did for their employee engagement. I'd love to see how I could help you bring this forward, or my women's group, or my and whatever group I'm part of could help the organization get on the map and do it differently. Mm. That would be my recommendation.
I want everyone to take note of your tonality and your spirit of inclusion. So it's not an us versus them piece, right? It's not like you're doing something wrong. And for goodness sakes, like, get on the bus, Gus, you know? So I think that there's some really important nuances to this conversation and all of the pieces that you've shared here. So many areas that we touched on. I mean, I really appreciate the conversations around severance and gender pay gaps, because I know those are burning the hole of a lot of us as we are in the search, you know, marketplace, hiring, things are changing. And we want to make sure that we are always advising those around us with some of the things that you need to know now, not what happened, you know, maybe the last time that you were on the market, because many of the folks that at least I work with, you know, it could have been a decade or more and things are not the same. So we're going
to think the bottom line, Lauren. I just want to say we all have to do our part. And that doesn't mean protesting, although we could pull in Iceland. You know, it really means sharing your voice and sharing it in a way that will be received.
Absolutely. We're going to get a little personal and not talk about our bank accounts right now, or compensation or salary. What I really want to know, I ask this question because I'm so married to my reminders and I need to have a post-it around every now and again. So whether you are in a job search, whether you are in an organization, what would be the post-it reminder that you would suggest that people have when it comes to either money mindset or something that is related to compensation or negotiation nearby?
I am worthy.
I am worthy. Yeah. Rinse.
I am worth it. You own your career. You own this conversation. Don't wait for it. Don't wait for your manager to have it with you. Get in the driver's seat, because no one is going to care more about your career, about your growth and where you're going than you are. So if you're not doing it, no one is. Yes, maybe we get lucky and we have some great bosses over our career. Expand your network. Who have I met today that could potentially help me or me help them? I think that would be the second one. What am I doing about building my network today?
Yeah, massive value. As you have been, you know, in your people role, as you've been developing your own company, what would you recommend as a go-to book or podcast or place where people can also dive in to their, you know, like I find sometimes those private moments are really helpful to just kind of marinate in a topic. And so where have you been that you would recommend other people go?
Well, one of the biggest transformations of my life was becoming a professional coach. And I didn't realize that it would transform me as much as I would be learning to be a coach. So that was a big, big one. And surrounding myself with people who are open-minded, being very thoughtful about who's sitting at your table, and are these people elevating you? Or are they holding you back? Are they leading with optimism or are they negative and would rather sit around and judge other people and talk about other people? So being mindful of who's at your table. Couple of things that there's one author who has made a big impact on me as a leader, and that's Patrick Lencioni. He has written some unbelievable books around the ideal team player, the five dysfunctions of a team, obviously making those functional team members. And then I just read a book called Trust and Inspire by Stephen Covey. Mm-hmm. Mind blowing. And as a leader, I am always looking to grow and develop my leadership. This is extremely important. And really understanding that the moment you care and really show that you care about your people and the whole person and helping that whole person come to work and unlock their potential, that is the game changer. You will have people that show up on the highest level if you do that. So understanding what does it really mean to be a leader? And again, I don't think companies are investing that much in your leadership development. You have to do it. So two books, highly, highly, highly recommended. I also love the podcast Diary of a CEO. I'm totally obsessed. Stephen Bartlett. I mean, it doesn't get better. Because he talks about with CEOs and with leaders about their lessons learned. And even if you're not in a leadership role, even if you're just, you know, an individual contributor and you're looking to develop, learning about how to become a leader, not just through osmosis from the leaders around you, the good or the bad, but learning how to be a leader in your own right, even if you don't end up leading a team, you are leading maybe a friend group, maybe your family, maybe you're a mom or you are leading in some level. Maybe you're a coach on a team and just fine tuning that and learning how to, what the nuances are in that, I would say are the things that I would highly, highly recommend.
I love that podcast too. I'm quasi obsessed. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should own up to it. I'm obsessed. What's your walk-up song? Come on, Carrie Lynn.
I honestly, you know, I'm the worst with music. I love music. I love it so much. I can never remember the artist and I can never remember the name of the song. So this is something that I'm not good at. So I have a hard time answering that. If this is something you rock and roll at, tell me what you think my walk-up song. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Maybe that in my life, I think that. Maybe yes. That's one because I think I've been knocked down heavily from a personal standpoint, from a tragedy standpoint, from just, you know, some really difficult situations that impacted my physical health, my mental health. And I, every time, flowed through it to move forward. Would I say I came out stronger every time? Yeah, probably. So maybe that's a good one. Sorry for the horrible voice.
Are you kidding me? It was perfect and real and wonderful, just like you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today and listening to this episode of Career Blast and a Half. And we love you, listeners. And we want to thank you. And please come back next week. And in the meantime, do us a solid. Please, if you haven't subscribed, go do that. And if you want to write a LinkedIn, or I always say LinkedIn, if you want to write a podcast review, please do that. It helps us grow. So truly, truly appreciate you, Carolyn Shaw of The Salary Bump. We will, of course, include a link below so that people can find you, your company, and your course, all the good stuff. And I hope you have a beautiful rest of the day and abundance is everywhere. And thank you for reminding us.
Thank you for joining today. We appreciate your listening ears, big time. We ask this, use these tools, not tomorrow, right now, and share them by spreading the love. Leaving us a rating and subscribe so you don't miss the next Career Blast in a Half. Most of all, thank you for you.